Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Cam?
Yes, how are you?
Hey, Cam, this is Sam McClain from the Just Talk with Sam podcast. How are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm doing awesome. Hey, I got a chance to catch a little of the show in Ann Arbor today with our neighbors at Sonic Lunch, and you guys ripped it. Excellent job. I wish I could have stayed and saw the whole thing, but I did see the remainder on social media via people posting the hashtags up. You guys rocked it. You guys had a lot of people dancing on lunch break. It was awesome.
Aw, thank you so very much.
Okay, well, to those who are just now listening, you are the lead vocalist of The Suffers.
Yes, I am.
And you guys are...
Hi, I'm here with our bass player, Adam Castaneda, and our trombone player, Michael Rosso.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Adam.
How's it going?
It's going great. I was just telling Cam you guys did an excellent job earlier today with Sonic Lunch.
Thanks. I appreciate it. We had a good time.
Hey, everyone else did, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was great.
All right. You guys are currently on tour right now, just promoting your highly, highly acclaimed debut album. I mean, it was awesome. Since I bought it, it's a mainstay in my iPod. You guys are crushing it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
I'm curious, how did you guys get your start?
We've been all playing around Houston in different bands, in a different kind of format, and one day me and Patrick Kelly, the keyboard player, were sitting around, and we decided, we should do a band that was kind of fun. At the time, I was in three other bands, and this was going to be kind of like a fun project, but we played mostly covers, and we kind of just, picked the players we wanted to play with, and it was kind of a really natural and organic thing, and really within about 2 weeks, we had pretty much the lineup we have now. We've had, pretty much a stable lineup now for about 4 years.
Okay, yeah. See, you guys are from Houston. You guys got that Gulf Coast soul. I say that because we were talking earlier before you guys called in. See, that Gulf Coast, a lot, New Orleans have that a lot, Louisiana, you guys represent that well. But a lot of stuff isn't, known out of the Houston area. I know Houston personally is more rap and hip hop, but there's a lot of different music in Houston. Hello?
Can you hear it?
Yeah, you guys are going in and out.
Oh, no. Okay. We're trying to be, and use the Bluetooth thing and hear you better, but it doesn't go very well.
It's okay.
Okay. Are we still going in and out?
No, you're good now.
Okay.
My question is, as far as Houston, it was more rap, hip-hop. Now you guys are bringing that Gulf Coast soul to Houston, but a lot of people don't know that there's many different music genres in the Houston area.
Yeah, I know. You're definitely right. We're friends with so many amazing artists down there. Without going too crazy, Houston has the tons on there, Will Marston, and he's obviously the home of Beyonce. But, without going down the hip-hop route too much, there's so many different genres of music coming out right now. You have actually so many. You have wrestlers just crushing the EDM and house music circuit right now, and Avery, we're so happy to be in this pool of just awesome creativity coming out of the scene right now, and I'm just really happy that the media is starting to acknowledge the fact that there is more than just rock, hip hop, and country that comes from that area.
Yeah, you actually, we did a little homework on you, Cam. You actually fronted a punk band.
I did. Actually, the majority of the Suckers were in punk and ska bands at one point or another, but yes.
Okay. I gotta ask, what made you guys go to more of a soul sound?
What made it what?
Yeah, you guys fronted more punk ska, but now you guys are more of a soul sound. What made you go into that soul sound?
I think we just kind of naturally fell into that world. You know, when we were all doing punk and ska music, it's just, you know, young kids exploring the music genre like that they've been listening and learning their instruments in the first place. And for me, I grew up singing gospel, but as far as joining bands, the first band I ever joined was a punk ska band, and, you know, it wasn't because that's what I wanted to do. It's just the opportunity that came in or came into my life at first. And I don't know if that's the case for most of the other guys, but I'm pretty sure it might be. You know, someone says, "Hey man, I heard you say this. You want to join my band? When you're 16 and you've never been in a band before, you're interested in what they're going to be." Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is, I mean, you did answer my next question. My next question was like, does that come up, you know, people remember you from your origins and then now you're doing this? Yeah, so yeah, you did answer that. But one of the things that got me into you guys, wasn't necessarily, the debut album. It was like some of the cuts you did, like from your EP. Was that the original intention to put out an EP first just to get a gauge of how the people receive you guys?
I don't know if it was a plan, but we just kind of we fell into. I think the EP, the songs that were on the EP, we kind of felt like they kind of went together a certain way that we liked. And, you know, we're just getting dark. I don't think it was really a plan when we did the EP. It was just something that came together really naturally and really organically. I think also, too, the reason why we have the EP is everybody has been wanting music from us for so long. You know, they've gone to a few shows and stuff, and they're like, you know, when you play a CD, when you get a CD, and, we didn't really have the money for a CD, for a whole album just yet, but, you know, we wanted to give everybody a taste of what we had on our, you know, already ready.
Okay, and yeah, you brought up that thing of money. That, hey, that makes the world go round. This album was actually crowdsourced.
Yes, it was. We did not sign with a label or anything like that until when the idea to finally release the full-length record came to be. We had to figure out a way to put it out without, you know, rolling goals or without signing some deals that wouldn't have been in our best interest. And so we hit up our friends and our families and our fans on the wonderful world that we can hear in, and funded our records and Kickstarter.
That just shows how great professionals you guys are, that people would, you know, like, want to invest in you. Your fans, your friends, your family wants to invest in you because, you know, you got something special.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, it's something that we can tell when we play our shows back at home. Before the suckers, my parents didn't come to my old band shows, and I think that's the case for the majority of the band. Like, they loved us very much, but they weren't really that interested in the music that we were making prior to this. And there's just something very special about what we do now that brings people of all ages and all walks of life together. And I know it because it allows me to see my family, like, a lot of the guys see their families, and they're proud to showcase us to their friends and to, you know, anybody that will listen to them. And it's just a really wonderful thing to be a part of.
And yeah, it's not just friends and family anymore. You guys are crushing it.
Definitely have a pretty strong separate army of just wonderful fans that we've made along the way that have just been an integral part of our success.
Yeah, since this album came out earlier this year, you guys have been on a whirlwind trip. What were some of the standout moments of this year so far?
Well, so this year, definitely Jimmy Kimmel and the Daily Show with the big, you know, late night TV appearances. On top of that, you know, we had a privilege and honor to play with Preservation Hall in New Orleans just after the Long Jazz Fest. They invited us to play their show, Midnight Preserve, which kind of
in Maine to get to play with those guys. And it wasn't like they were trying to necessarily show us up or, try to move us up. It was they really talked to us like we were equals or like we were like coworkers almost. It was really inspiring to me,
How surreal is that? One thing we champion here at the Just Talk with Sam podcast are like the fan freakout moments. You just kind of mentioned one of something where you were just like blah 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 likes our music or they gave us a thumbs up. You kind of mentioned that. You got anybody else have like a fan freakout moment when you just because we're all fans of the music first, but when you see somebody like oh my god this person digs our sound. You guys had any moments like that?
I know. Jazz says, I didn't get to see him playing, but me and Chopper, our percussion player, we waited outside. We heard Stevie Wonder was playing at doing a secret show, and we waited just to see him. And honestly, that was just being walked by him. It was like, holy crap! Like I would not explain it. It was like almost like a religious moment, man. Like, it was awesome. And then not to mention, it was some of the drum player.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta say, man, it's Stevie. Who doesn't like Stevie?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are crushing it. I can't say that enough. One thing I want to say before I get off the phone with you guys is I love, I'm pretty sure this comes up, but the Bobby Brown, Every Little Step You Took, you made that into like a jazz, Caribbean soul flavored vibe. How did that come up? Okay, hey, I mean it sounded great to me. When you guys write, is it pretty much a team effort or is it somebody with one idea? Is pretty collaborative, yeah?
Yeah, it's really collaborative. It's really democratic. It's usually somebody will come in with an idea, maybe a riff or changes or even just something less than that, an idea with words. And they'll show it to the band and we'll kind of think, like, yeah, there's something there that we can work with or not. And if we like it, we'll kind of channel on it. And then it kind of goes through the buffers, too. Just kind of, we add a little bit here, a little bit there, move this around. And, once it goes through all 10 of us, it becomes the buffers.
Hey, it works for you guys. I got a few more questions. I'll let you on your way. These are more fan-based questions. Like I said, I am a fan of your work, and I love it. I just got to know, how did you guys come up with the name of the band, The Suffers? Because when I listen to your music, ain't nobody suffering. You sound great.
We got our name. It comes from a 1976 Jamaican movie called Rockers. And there's a line in there about being sufferers, and we kind of thought that was really cool. So for about 2 weeks, we were called the Sufferers. But that's a bit of a contrast, so we shortened it to the Sufferers, and that's what we've been. Doesn't really make a lot of sense, from a medical standpoint, but it rolls off the tongue a lot better than Sufferers.
I get that. Cam, this is more for you. After talking with you for the last few minutes here, you have a wonderful speaking voice. I'm curious, how does that speaking voice turn into like the super aggressive, soulful voice that was just on stage a minute ago? And now you come back, you're like nice and sweet.
Well, the speaking voice came after I learned how to sing. So I learned how to sing at Galilee Missionary Baptist Church and at Greater Montgomery Missionary Baptist Church in Texas. as we talked, it kind of just confused me. But I think it's a part of who I really am. As far as my talking voice, from a early age, my parents corrected my diction quite heavily, because in the early 90s, late 80s, young black men and women weren't being given jobs because they were automatically perceived as being ignorant. And so the reason my parents corrected my diction so early was because they wanted to make sure that I had every opportunity available to me when it came to my job interviews. Because, you know, at that point, a lot of the job interviews would start on the phone. And so I knew that if I could just get to that second interview, it didn't really matter what I looked like, because I had already convinced them that I was worth hiring. And so even down in Houston, a lot of times we had people say, "You don't sound like you're from Houston, or you don't sound like you're from here." But it's funny, because I bet you, if you were at that loft in Houston, you'd call me first.
Yeah, but you want to thank your parents for that, because they make hey, it's working. I mean, that's why you give them that extra hug next time you see them, because it's working, Cam. But
yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I find it very bizarre myself sometimes. Like, when I rewatch the videos of us on stage, I'll be like, what is happening to me? But at the same time, I'm very glad that that happened, because it lets me know that I've lost all control once I'm on stage. Like, I'm really showing you who I actually am, rather than talking to you in this calm and controlled way.
Yeah, hey, if you gotta be a beast on stage, you gotta be whatever you wanna turn into on stage. Keep doing it. It's working well. Trust me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, I gotta let you guys go. I wanna say much success to you guys on this tour, your career, the album. Much success. We wish you much success here at Just Talk with Sam Podcast. And just keep doing what you do, keep getting people dancing, keep kicking ass. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a great rest of your day.
You too, and peace out.
Bye.
Bye.